For my 60th birthday, I had a very special treat from my brother-in-law, who arranged for me to go up in a glider from him, from his club, which is in North Northumberland, and we were towed up thousands of feet into the air by a small plane, and then suddenly the rope lets loose, and you're there in a glider thousands of feet up in the air. But that wasn't the most petrifying part. The most petrifying part was just a few moments later, where the co-pilot who was sitting behind me suddenly said, "You're in control." And I was flying a plane thousands of feet with no motor up in above the hills of Northumberland, looking down at the most amazing views you can imagine. But those words have never left me. You're in control. And that seemed to me to be a very good picture of the kind of life that we live as Christians, both terrifying and amazing. Because Jesus said, as we read those words in John 14, oh, that's the picture of me flying. You're in control. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." When I was in control of that plane, I was exceedingly glad that right behind me there was a co-pilot who had the control of the plane if he needed it. I was not in control most of the time. But at that point, when he said to me, "You're in control," I still knew he was there. And Jesus has given us a special, very special person, a helper, to be with us in our lives in the same way. Those words, "another helper," in that version you've got on the screen there. "Another" in Greek in that, at that point, means another one like me, another like person. And Jesus was speaking about someone who would be like him. Not another different person, but another like person. You could distinguish between the two. And the other Greek word, I'm teaching you some Greek this morning, if you don't know it already, the other Greek word is the word paraklete. And the word para in Greek means alongside, and klete means called. So it's someone called alongside to help you. And none of our translations, comforter, advocate, and so on, really get that feeling of someone who's alongside you to be there for you. That's what a paraklete is. And Jesus is saying, there is another helper who I'm going to leave with you. So just at the point where Jesus was about to launch the disciples out into their new world, going out to reach the world for him, he leaves them with another helper just like him. Someone to teach them, someone to guide them, someone like that glider co-pilot who would always be there for them as they took control of what he'd given them to do and flew forwards out into where he wanted them to go. And that's the privilege that we have as Christians, to have someone like that in our lives. Someone who's not going to treat us like robots, not going to give us magic messages which take us in a certain direction or anything like that, but someone who's there, who says, "Go on, go for it, because I'm always here with you." So when Peter went out on the day of Pentecost, and said to the people in Jerusalem, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He was talking to people who knew nothing about what they were going to be doing. Nothing at all. "And yet the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off." That's you and me. "For all whom God will call." And that calling is ours, and that person is ours alongside us, the Holy Spirit. It's ever so hard for talking about persons of the Godhead, because God is beyond our understanding. It's not surprising, really, is it? If we could be God, we might understand it all. But we believe that God the Father gave us God the Son to come to us as a human being, as our Saviour and our friend. And being here with us in terms of human being a human being on earth with us. But when Jesus then left the physical world behind, as it were, he left the Holy Spirit, that other person of the Godhead, to be with us as well. Now, I don't expect to try and explain that to you, but it's something that we experience as Christians. We know God as our Father, our Creator, the one who has made the world. We know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, the one who gave himself for us, who on the cross did all that was necessary to link us up to God again. We can't get our heads around that, but we also have the Holy Spirit, the daily provision of God's presence with us every day. It's amazing to me that God, our Father, our Savior, our Comforter, our Advocate, is a giving God. Why does he care that much about me that he's done all that for me? Why does he bother with me at all? But he does more than bother. He has given me all of creation. He's given me all I need, food, homes, people to be with. He's given me Jesus. One Christmas, Jill and I put our own baby, Andrew, in a box wrapped in Christmas paper. And at the Christmas service, undid this box, and there was a baby. Now, it made the point. Why would God give a present like that to you and me? He came to be with us as a human being. But here, in these passages that we've just been reading, the Holy Spirit is the gift. He's the one who's going to guide us into all truth. He's the one who's going to take Jesus and make him known to us. That's why I'd likened him to that pilot in the glider, making sure that I understand as much as possible of my own life, but I'm going out there in faith, if you like, flying by the seat of my pants, but there's someone behind me who's there to be guide me and to help me in everything. And the word for that in the Bible is grace. Grace is givingness. Givingness is what God does. That's himself. That's who he is. We believe in a giving God. We don't believe in a God who's only a judge, who is strong and powerful and mighty. We believe in a God who is love, who proclaims himself. And the way he shows his love is by giving himself to us, so that we can live our lives every day knowing that he cares about me and about people around me and people who he will touch through me. He wants to give us more every day. He wants to give us more of himself every day. And even when I'm unwilling to receive, even when I'm stubborn, even when I'm rebelling against him, God cannot change his character. He's still the same God. I might cut myself off, but he's still there for me when I come back to him, because that's who God is. And when we turn back and we're really sorry, he's still giving. That's grace. That's what it's all about. And the way we experience that in every day is actually through the Holy Spirit. So one of the things I want to say to you this morning is this. When we talk about the Holy Spirit will come and help you because the Father will send the Spirit to take my place. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about being Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit will teach you everything and remind you of what I said while I was with you. Sometimes I worry about Christians that when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we get taken up so much with the icing and not the cake. All the extras, all the gifts of the Spirit and all those kinds of things, they're wonderful, they're great, but they're not the essence of it all. The essence of it all is that God is giving himself. He's giving us Jesus in the every day through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I will send you the Spirit who comes from the Father and shows you what is true. The Spirit will help you and will tell you about me. Everything the Holy Spirit does leads us back to Jesus. And let's, as we begin this series, let's remember that. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to draw us back to him. So what are you going to be looking for as we look at the Holy Spirit during this series? It's the reality of Jesus by our side. It's the reality of God in our lives as we pray and trust him and fly on. And that, to me, is the excitement of being a Christian. That very presence of God in my life. I don't always understand it. I can't always explain it. But he's there. And he underpins and he strengthens and he guides. And he does everything that is right and good in my life. I don't know about you, how you feel about your calling. We've been talking a lot about calling recently. You have a life to live every day. You have decisions to make. You have choices to give out. How do you do that? How do you make those choices? Some of you know that Jill and I have been involved for a little while. I want to give you two testimonies, as it were, from our own lives about how we found this works. Jill and I, for the last 4 years, have been helping with a group of people with learning disabilities. And we're going again next Sunday for 10 days. And it seems to me astonishing as I look back 5 years ago when our friend said to us, will you come and help us? We need some help. And I just volunteered to do the cooking. You know how I like cooking. And I looked at this situation and I said, how do you do this? I've never worked with people with learning disabilities before in my life. Jill's very good at craft and that kind of thing. And I thought, well, that would work. Because I was thinking of them as children. And of course, they're not children. They're adults. They have a particular way of learning. But we have to understand them and work with them. And so we went along very naive, almost shaking and saying, Lord, how do we do this? And gradually, over these 4 years, we've seen him work a miracle, not only in what we do with those folks, but in our own hearts, as we understand them better, as we like them, as we love them, as we enjoy them, as we learn from them. Because he can do that by his Holy Spirit in our lives. And then just recently, another example of the same kind of thing for me, because some of you will know that in Axminster, I volunteered when we came 3 years ago to help as a volunteer just a couple of hours a week in the Tourist Information Centre. Just the thing I love doing, just to give me connections with people and to understand people and to help the tourists locally, help the economy of the town. You think, oh, that's great, you know, you can do that for a couple of hours. Well, it was fine until the end of last year. Suddenly, the whole thing collapsed around our ears because of finance. And the committee evaporated before my eyes. And so as we landed in the Heritage Centre, where we are now, we've merged in with the Axminster Heritage Centre, I was the only person left. And from volunteering for a couple of hours a week, I then had to train up to 40 or 50 volunteers to do the same kind of thing. And you say, Lord, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want to do this, but I found myself in the situation where you had to do it. And I can give testimony that we haven't yet got there. We're still building. We're still trying to get the thing going. But it hasn't completely collapsed around our ears so that nothing's happening at all. We do have something happening, and it is building. And we can do that now. And I can just say, the only way in which I could have done that is because I believed that the Spirit would be with me, understanding the situation much better than I can, preparing me for people and showing me how to get through to them. So it's not only the things in church that happen, it's also outside. And whatever your calling is, whatever your calling from God is, he will equip you by the Holy Spirit to do what he's calling you to. But as a church, as a whole, we're also wanting to know the presence and gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if you read the New Testament, you read Corinthians and Ephesians and Romans about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're not personal things particularly. They're body things. They're things that we share together. So we should never think of the Holy Spirit only as my personal helper. He's also the Holy Spirit of the church. He's the one who brings us all together and blends us in as a body at the same time. A people of love. And that's already been mentioned this morning. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The very character of Jesus is the character that we should be seeing as a church together. Now, I hate to tell you this, but there are things in this church that I don't like. There are things in this church that you don't like. But how do we cope with that with each other? How do we cope with people in the church who we find we rub against and they make us hurt? They don't, you know, we don't get through to them in the same way. There are people we do like. We're all human beings. There are people that we find difficult as well. How do we do that? If we don't have the Holy Spirit amongst us, we will never do it. Because his very character, the character of Jesus, is the one that we seek to build amongst us. And so we learn and we fly and we have the co-pilot in behind us saying, come on, keep going. You can do it. Because Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, and you have to start at the beginning of that passage, eagerly desire the greater gifts. What are the greater gifts? I will show you the most excellent way. When we're thinking about the gifts of the Spirit over these next weeks, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And we've got to keep this at the basis of all that we are as a church. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And as we look over these next weeks at the gifts the Holy Spirit has given us, the gifts of leadership, the gifts that help us care, and the gifts, that help us grow. Gifts of leadership, gifts that help us care, gifts that help us grow. What are we going to be looking out for? Are we going to be looking at the gifts and the experiences, or are we going to be looking at the body life of the church and say, where is the love? Where is the life of Jesus? Where is all that Jesus is doing? Is God at work amongst us? God is at work when we have the character of Jesus showing amongst us this morning. For my 70th birthday, my children have bought me a hang gliding experience. I'm glad to say that as you look in that picture, you'll see that's not me, of course, I haven't been there yet. There'll be a co-pilot, and so is Jill, very glad there's a co-pilot there with me all the time. I don't know what it's going to be like. I've never done such a thing. I'd love to do it. I've done ballooning, and I've done microlight flying and gliding. And I love being up in the air. But this is very real, isn't it? But there will be a co-pilot right behind me, telling me all the time. And if he says to me, you're in control, I shall have to trust him, but also know that I can do something that he's telling me to do, because he'll be there showing me how. Now, isn't that an amazing picture of your life and mine as we go out into this world, as we go out from this place, work in the community, meet new people, do all those things that God has called us to. Take up your calling over this next summertime as the leadership are challenging us at the moment. And your generous Father, in giving you a life to live, has set you free and every day forgives you your sins and starts you off afresh. That generous Father gives you the Holy Spirit who is in your life saying, go ahead, you're in control, fly, because I'm with you. Let's give him the praise and thanksgiving.